Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe it's the weather or the way that the rain smells that makes me think about you. Never thought for a moment I'd ever say farewell. Guess it was harder to see through. I really miss you. I really miss you. I really miss you today. Maybe it's the color of your hair in the sun, or the way you touch me so softly. So many moments to hold, I can't pick just one. All my memories I hold dearly. I really miss you. I really miss you. I really miss you today. Oh, yeah. I really miss you. I really miss you. I really miss you today. Oh, yeah. You said you'd always be with me. Love me to the end. And now my days are followed by lonely nights without a friend. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Welcome to the Sunday Show. This is Here Be Monsters Radio with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, myself, Gwen Berry. You're listening to the song I Really Miss You by Peaches and Wine Band. That would be Words and Music by Silvino and our Nick, Nicole Tomasini, singing. I guess we all get sentimental during the holidays, don't we, Jack?
Yeah, that sounded very nice, and a nice ballad of bygone days, I guess, so to speak. Now, where is that available? Where can people get that?
Well, this is actually being cut this week onto an album. You know Nicole. She's been with us a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
She's my buddy who does the side. So this is Nick and Phil up there in New York and Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And they played down.
Maybe we'll see it on iTunes and you can download it there or something, but we should popularize that for them.
Yeah. They've put a few, they have a YouTube channel up that has some live video of them at the, good Lord, it's a Lower East End bar I used to go to, Parkside in New York.
And what's the name of the band again?
Peaches and Wine. Peaches and Wine. Well,
Peaches and Wine.
Phil's name is Phil Vino. So he's pretty good. They did a couple of years ago, they were down here in the Keys, and they did a rendition. The both of them really loved David Bowie songs. And Nick does really good with David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
And they Live from Mars was the one that they did down here that I just love. I have an old video of it. But they're seriously going to go in and cut they've gotten a producer to cut a CD. And they've been playing engagements all summer, and they were down in the Troubadour bars in Nashville, and they're going pretty country rockish and writing their own and playing old ones, and I love seeing them happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And So creative. Because right now, creativity and happiness, I think, are the keys to good health.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a artistic endeavors like that are good to delve into just for their own sake as a means of expression. And they're good therapy for people that are having trouble dealing with anything. So it's a good thing to lose yourself into things like that and devote as much time as is available to you to do so. So that's a healthy endeavor.
Well, so what was it? Did you swing an axe? I know that our buddy Wayne, who's probably with family tonight and forgot to email us, or he's traveling back to Ohio. He plays with a band. He plays a six-string.
Mainly blues, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a blues player. But I know you have a musical background, too. What did you do?
Oh, yeah. I've been recording for many years, producing and arranging and doing all kinds of stuff with recorded music. I have performed live a few times with different bands over the years, but my gig has always been recording because, you know, bands come and bands go, but tapes and discs and CDs and stuff, they last much longer than a single performance. And I my youngest brother who passed away, he loved performing live because he loved the rapport from the audience. And you know, I'm not distant from that, but I don't feel the need to have people gush over me and that sort of thing because you know, I'd rather have them do it in print after they've listened to something I've done. Or something like that, or just ignore me altogether and not even comment. Whatever, you know. I don't need the constant adulation and all that stuff.
Well, I've seen a lot of performance in my life. I really don't go to big concerts anymore because it's a shit show. I mean, you know, everybody's pushing it. I'm beyond that now. But if I find, like, there's small theaters where certain people play, the last one I saw was I saw Lindsey Buckingham up here, actually, in a theater, a small theater, and it was fabulous. He did a beautiful job, and it was a delight.
You know, yeah, smaller venues are much better. First of all, audience, you can relate to the audience a lot easier that way, and you get a human side of the artist rather than some far-off figure bathed in lights and you don't know what's going on. You know, I saw Ingrid Michaelson in close range that way about 2-3 years ago, and she was fabulous. And she has written for many, many television shows in the background. She's not very prevalent but her music is. And I've seen Al Stewart several times in small venues, and he's great. He's a great storyteller and a great historical narrative guy.
You like Al Stewart. You know, my first business partner was his stepbrother, Chris Malcolm.
Really?
Yeah, I used to manage bands when I was a kid down in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale and stuff.
Cool.
I worked on the paper at the same time. we had a pretty good band, too, Ross Emery Band. He only recorded the one album, which it hit Billboard. It didn't get into the top 20, but it got close, called The Jogger. But we opened for, like, Crosby, Stills, and, a few others.
Fun.
It was a lot of fun, but Al Stewart was always in and out of town and in and out of crashing on the couch and stuff.
Oh, my Lord. I've gotten everything that guy's ever recorded. He's a great storyteller. He does a great job on historical narratives and stuff. And he puts himself in the place of you. You and he share the adventure together. It's just wonderful how he's taken that tack to his writing. Plus, his textures are wonderful. His musicianship is very good. I just think the guy's top-notch. I love him.
He loves what he does. He's a very mellow person. Well, he used to.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Very, very mellow person and kind. For the most part, I did see him get mad at a cat once.
Oh. Well, who doesn't do that?
But, as a matter of fact, you were talking about how you record and line up. You probably should have been a DJ, a radio.
I hear that a lot from people.
FM man, because you were kind enough to put some discs together for me, and I have three of them lined up on my iTunes, my music player on my computer. And when I'm working,
cool,
I will play one of my jack, I call them jack lists, jack one, jack two, jack three.
Well, great. I'm glad
they've
shown some value to you.
You've introduced me to, it's like, wow, I know I've heard that before. And then I realized that it's like, wow, I've completely forgotten.
In every genre, there is tons of good music out there, and I mean in almost every single genre possible, in all ages of music, recorded music. It is. I've collected a mass amount of CDs, and before that, records and tapes and stuff like that over the many years, and I've been doing this collecting since really the mid-60s, so... It's been going on and on and on, and I've just about got all the old stuff I want now, but something new pops up all the time, and you can always count on an artist to create something new that you haven't heard or it hasn't dawned on you yet how cool it is, you know.
You know, it's true. What you're saying is very true. I wasn't very fond of rap music when I was first hearing it. I thought it was a pain in the ass, especially the Mazai.
Right.
We had two live crew in that crowd down here, and it was just not too cool. But then my sister or my nephew played his Eminem for me, and there was
that's a little different. That's a whole different level.
It just blew me away. And speaking of rap, I think that this is something to. I just looked it up. I was just reminded the other day of this, but this is a piece of Eminem that just came out. I think he put it out in October of this year. Have you heard it yet? You're gonna like it.
It's a reaction to Trumpism and stuff, isn't it?
Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Let's listen up.
Go ahead, let's do it.
It's the calm before the storm right here. Wait, how was I going to start this off? I forgot. Oh, yeah. That's an awfully hot coffee pot. Should I drop it on Donald Trump? Probably not, but that's all I got. So I come up with a solid... Got a plan and now I got a hatchet like a damn Apache with a tomahawk. I'ma walk inside a mosque on Ramadan and say a prayer that every time I talk to get to my I'ma stop. But we better give Obama props, because what we got in office now's a kamikaze that'll probably cause a nuclear holocaust. And while the drama pops and he waits for shit to quiet down, he'll just cast his plane up and fly around till the bombing stops. Intensity's heightened. Tensions are rising. Trump, when it comes to giving a shit, you're stingy as I am. Except when it comes to having the balls to go against me, you hide them. Because you don't got the nuts like an empty asylum. Racism's the only thing he's fantastic for. Because that's how he gets his rocks off and he's orange. Yeah, sick tan. That's why he wants us to disband, because he cannot withstand the fact we're not afraid of Trump. Walking on eggshells, I came to stump. That's why he keeps screaming, brain to swamp, because he's in quicksand. like we take a step forwards then backwards. But this is his form of distraction. Plus, he gets an enormous reaction when he attacks the NFL, so we focus on that instead of talking Puerto Rico with gun reform for Nevada. All these horrible tragedies, and he's bored and would rather cause a Twitter storm with the Packers. And says he wants to lower our taxes. Then who's going to pay for his extravagant trip back and forth with his family to his golf resorts and his mansion? Same shit that he tormented Hillary for and he slandered, then does it more from his endorsement of Bannon, support for the Klansmen, tiki torches in hand for the soldier that's black and comes home from Iraq and is still told to go back to Africa, forking a dagger in this racist 94-year-old grandpa who keeps ignoring our past historical deplorable factors. Now if you're a black athlete, you're a spoiled little brat for trying to use your platform or your stature to try to give those a voice who don't have one. He says you're spitting in the face of that who fought for us, you bastard. Unless you're a POW who's tortured and battered just to him, your heroes, because he don't like his war, he'll capture. That's not disrespecting the military. That. This is for Colin. Ball up a fist. And keep that shit ball like Donald the bitch. He's gonna get rid of all immigrants. He's gonna build that thing up taller than this. Well, if he does build it, I hope it's rock solid with bricks. Cause like him in politics, I'm using all of his tricks. Cause I'm throwing that piece of shit against the wall till it sticks. And any fan of mine who's a supporter of his, I'm drawing in the sand a line. You're either for or against. And if you can't decide who you like more in your split on who you should stand beside, I'll do it for you with this.
Whoa.
The rest of America, stand up. We love our military, and we love our country. But we hate Trump!
You know, like all,
like
rap,
all
music,
rap music,
it has a point.
And it's music of the people from the street. It's their reaction to things going on in the world or different trends going on and that sort of thing. And it's got a cultural value for that reason. And even if it's devoid of music or any real rhythm, if it's just beat, some of it's just beat and some of it's there's not too much rhythm in a lot of rap. But and that I didn't hear any music, so it's just spoken word. But
just off the cuff, but it did go viral.
Right.
And it made a news cycle or two. That version I played took the word fuck out, but he's basically like a lot of rappers and a lot of course the African-American community. I still call my friends black friends, you know. I don't see that that's racist at all. What he's doing is he's saying, you know, our people don't care for your people. And he's talking about the rap nation, not the black nation, but rap nation is filled with a lot of immigrants, a lot of blacks, and a myriad of what you would call poor white folks. And it, like you said, Jack, that's from the street up. And it's from the street up that it's going to make the biggest difference.
It's always better to go from the bottom up rather than the top down.
Yeah, from the street up. That's why we have to organize. We have to march, especially
right
prior to the elections and during the elections. And I wish I was hearing right now of March coming in this tomorrow into Washington about this tax thing. It's a joke, of course.
Well, it's deceit. Deceit in action. Paul Ryan's the biggest goddamn liar, and so is Trump. They're both liars. Oh, this is all for the middle class. Bullshit. I did a post not too long ago exposing the nonsense of this bullshit, and I quoted three different economists saying that there is absolutely no way this is going to be good for the economy or create jobs or increase wages. That's such a big lie.
The projection of default on this is a national debt of over $3 trillion in the next 4 years.
Where's this party of fiscal responsibility that used to mind the national debt? They're giving it all up for tax breaks for billionaires. It's disgusting.
They're paying the masters. They're paying their masters.
Yeah, they're donors. They're rewarding their billionaire donors.
They're
the
paying
Koch
their
brothers,
masters.
The Mercers, all those corrupt crooks that money doesn't mean anything to because they're awash in the stuff.
Well, apparently it means something enough to pressure these guys to do. You know, I mean.
Well, they want it all. That's the whole problem. They don't want anybody to have any, but just them. They want it all for themselves.
The problem with this is that what they are doing is eventually it causes a lack of employment. The employment is what creates the industry and the commerce that makes the money for them. So,
right.
It befuddles me that these idiots don't, because there used to be, if you will, forgive the term, a class of millionaire billionaires who understood that commerce and industry was all important, especially housed in this country. There is a product that is made in the United States of America. Did you know that? Not one.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I know Ivanka's stuff is all made in China and Vietnam and Philippines and stuff. And, you know, it's great to provide employment for those people over there. But really all we're doing is skimming off the top. We're paying those people shit wages, and we're importing the stuff here and marking it up here and making all the profit here and buying it as cheaply as we can in the low-wage countries.
And his idea of renegotiating trade, which is no idea whatsoever.
Big lie.
You know that Mexico is not going to be sending any of its produce to us this coming year. Do you know what that's going to do to the price of groceries?
Oh, it's going to make it go skyrocketing. Yep.
Oh, my God. What he just did was just, and also what's going to happen with the car industry and that one is just going to be a calamity that doesn't even stop giving. And it's going to take some real, real smart negotiators and some really smart integritous people to get back into government, into those offices to undo what's been done. And as long as Republicans are being elected, that's not going to happen.
Their brand is in trouble right now, and there's a good sign on the horizon here that their reign might be coming to a slow end here. And let's hope it happens quickly, beginning next year's elections and finishing it in 2020, getting Trump out of there. Trump is a bull in a china shop. That guy wrecked everything. He's an absolute destructive force. There's nothing constructive about what he does.
If he remains in office after the obvious criminal activity, especially around the election, and what he has done ongoing since taking office, you know, he criticizes every leader on the planet until he has to face them. And the only friends he makes are strongman autocrats or kleptocrats. And the only person that he has done any favors for in the whole year has been Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin. He's Putin's bitch. Let's face it. He's too stupid to know it.
You know, anybody that is this delusional and this reckless.
He belongs in an institution.
I want to see him take him out in chains. I want him in chains. I want him in handcuffs and those goddamn kids of his, too.
Oh, that Donald Jr. is disgusting. Eric's disgusting. Ivanka pisses me off. Jared, baby, her husband, really pisses me off. These guys are all crooks, and they're all arrogant, and they don't give a shit. They're too rich to care.
No, the thing is, they've all been laundering money for Russian underbelly for a long time. How do you think... And it kills me. I've got friends who say, oh, Russians love him and he's doing fine. And I'm like, are you fucking nuts? I do business with a couple of people, a couple of different groups in Moscow. One is a group of people who trade out at the daily flea market, sort of open markets they have there that are sort of black markets where people go to get what they can. And another couple of gals who run a place, the mother has, the kiosk that's in a building. It's a little shop in a building, you know, and they have a little gem and mineral store, and they also sell, you know, some spiritual items, but they don't overtly put it out that way. They have to walk a tight line. Even though, you know, church is okay and religion is okay again, it depends on who you are and where you are, whether it's okay. And also the two girls who run it are a couple, they're gay, and they have to keep that undercover or they'll lose everything. That's just part of it, but the whole.
Well, Russia is probably the most corrupt nation on earth. We like to point at other countries and say how corrupt they are and how Mexico is so corrupt. No, Russia takes the cake. They are without a doubt the most corrupt, money under the table, money laundering country in the history of mankind. They are. It's unbelievable the things you used to have to do under the communist system that they've incorporated into the new Putin system. It is corrupt from top to bottom.
I know for a fact that black market money and black market, you know, because they couldn't afford to trade with me. They can't afford to. I trade out with them. They send me a box of rocks. I send them a box of bottles. I send them as a gift. And over the years, which it's been close to 10 years, they have, out of numerous orders, there's been a few that it's taken them over a year to get the box because they were being held up for whatever reason.
One reason or another, yeah.
Yeah, and if I put its merchandise in, then they come in and they tax, it's not a tax, it's like a VAT or something. And it's like triple the price of the product, you know. I send gifts, and I never send that many, you know, maybe 10, 20 bottles at a time. But they appreciate it, and they get it out, and they love what they do. There's a lot of good things about living in Russia. You know, the people, you absolutely know where people stand right from the get-go in Russia. There isn't the sneakiness that there used to be under communism, I'm told. But,
well, they had to in those days because they were deathly afraid of going to jail or to the gulag, you know. And that's for the most part been...
There's a lot of people who still are. They poison or outright murder political opposition.
Absolutely.
That's just top of the chain. But down the chain, his directives are ridiculous. They're not very friendly or kind to animals. They completely ostracize anyone and find a way to arrest many who are, you know, of the gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever. Which is really horrible because in Russia there are a lot of gay men that make a living in style and whatnot, and
those are the people that have got to keep it quiet, otherwise they get persecuted.
It's an unspoken thing if they're good at what they do and they're in demand. It's a very hypocritical society, and people come to work society that way in a lot of places. Then again, in other cities and small towns and out in the country, people live a very nice life. I mean, Russia is rich in land and produce and
kinds
of things. That's why people have these open markets in the big cities, because they can come in and buy food.
They've had for a number of years problems with distribution. The communist system was very poor, and the quota system that they had in under previous regimes actually hampered the production of goods rather than helped them. And the rumor used to be you never buy a Russian car that was made on a Monday because everybody was drunk and you know didn't put it together properly and all that sort of thing.
Well, I can see where that might be true. Although I've always had the desire myself to travel Russia by train and see what a beautiful, I hear it's just one of the most gorgeous countries.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be an absolutely beautiful thing to be able to do.
Just to go to the Kremlin and see all the beautiful splendor of all those old, well-preserved buildings. It's just see on TV.
And you know you can find places online where you can take virtual tours and stuff, and that's nice. But I've always been kind of a traveler. I haven't in the last few years, but I do love traveling, especially abroad. But the last time I was abroad was so much different than years before. I can remember being in an audience at the Vatican for the Pope. When Bill Clinton was president, and there were a bunch of sailors in there.
Was that still in John Paul II's days, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he said hello to the sailors and wished them well, and everybody applauded.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore. That doesn't happen anymore. And we're not the only country with all of these problems. You take a look at what's going on in Britain right now. They're just as fractured as we are.
Sure.
They're a lot more polite about it, and they don't rant on the way we do. But maybe that's their problem.
But there have been class differences in Britain for many, many, many years, and dating back really to the 19th century and maybe even before that. But at any rate, a lot of this is fostered by Putin because he likes chaos. The more chaotic the Western powers are, the better off he is, because then Russia can once again, in his mind, reign supreme eventually and break through. But, you know, it's a fantasy Putin has, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous for all the rest of us.
It's not so much a fantasy because he is gaining land. He is gaining land. He's got
through the Ukraine and stuff, right?
He's got his standard planted finally in the Middle East, and that's been a big goal.
Oh, yeah.
Putin was sort of hijacked into the KGB or into training at the age of 12. Did you know that?
No, I never knew that, but I'm not surprised.
You know why?
And he excelled well. There's no doubt about it. He learned his lessons very well.
Do you know why? One thing Russians do that our CIA is fooled around with too, but not to the extent that the Russians do. But one of the reasons why is because he had what you on my side of the street call gifts. And I think that's one of his greatest assets. I think he's a very good cold reader. He's a psychic. And they used that, and they trained him with it, and they trained him the way they wanted him to. And he was very good at what he did, and he rose up the ranks because he's wily and smart.
Oh, yeah. And you know, one time he met with Vice President Joe Biden, and Biden looked at him. You know, I remember in the old days, George W. Bush, oh, I looked at the man, and I could see his soul. And Joe Biden sat down with him and talked to him for a while, and he looked him right in the eye, and he said, I look at you, and I see no soul. And Putin's response was, I'm glad we understand each other perfectly then. How revealing that was.
Well, you know, maybe Putin respected the fact that Biden told him what he was really thinking, because I think Putin knew anyway.
Right.
I think he's that kind of sensitive.
He's shrewd, and he's shrewd, and he's not stupid. He knows what's going on.
No, he's not. He's a real gamesman. He's very good on the chessboard. But people who are that good on the chessboard get a confidence going that always sorts of, it wrecks them in the end. But he's basically set the country up with the help of Gorbachev. Gorbachev opened up a lot of free marketing and stuff, and Putin.
And Yeltsin after him.
Yeah, well, Yeltsin was a joke, but
he was
just a puppet.
But he held power for quite a few years.
Yeah, but I think he was just a puppet for the GRU. But when Putin walked in, he basically just trimmed the overlaps to the way he wanted them. And it's, you know, if you apply for a visa to Russia, it's incredible what you'd have to go through. They look for the nasties, I think. I mean, they just gave dual citizenship, and I don't know how this happened. But Steven Seagal actually has dual citizenship between America and Russia. He's an arms dealer. He's nothing but an arms dealer. Steven Seagal is a despicable human being. He really is. There's nothing nice or real about the SOB. He's just an opportunist for many years, and now he's just damn right destructive. He's selling arms for profit. Not to nice people.
There are tons of people just like him out there that are despicable, really.
And this year has been a year of so many political tragedies and shocks to decent Americans, you know, people who pay attention. But I was talking to my landlord today, and he was saying, but you know, the majority of people don't understand the complete destruction that's gone on right in front of them. They don't know. I said, well, you know, people come home from a job at night. They have to take care of their children or do what they
They're
have
exhausted.
To do. They're exhausted. Then they might sit down to have dinner or with, because a lot of people eat dinner in front of the television. They
Absolutely.
Might sit down to have dinner and watch the local news. And then they watch NBC, ABC, or CBS.
Or
and
Fox,
the,
yuck.
Oh, God, well, those people are gone anyway.
But, you know, Fox has the most watched cable news television programming. It has been most watched till recently, till Bill O'Reilly left and, Sean Hannity's hanging on for dear life. But Rachel Maddow is the number one watched show in her time frame among the biggest demographic, and that's a good sign.
That's us, Jack. That's not the everyday. It's not the everyday
exactly,
lady.
Right.
Gentlemen. They come home and they're seeing ABC, CBS, or NBC.
Oh,
maybe,
yeah, and CBS, right.
Maybe they go over to PBS. A lot of folks do that, too.
Yeah,
but
some
what
do.
They're seeing in the last 6 months is some real raw wreckage of politics. They are seeing that now because you can't, you know, just gloss over it. I've watched some of the network news. Usually I just hang out at MSNBC or I'll cut over to CNN. Now, a lot of people watch CNN. They'll go to CNN and or it'll be playing even in the workspace. You know, people who work in the queues,
sure.
You know, they have a couple of TVs that are playing it. Day traders, people working in engineering places, stuff like that. They'll have Fox News or CNN playing. Well, I'm hearing that more and more people are turning on MSNBC for their daily.
That's a good sign.
I think so. I really do.
I think so, yeah. Well, first of all, you do get more balance that way.
Huh?
Because you're not getting propaganda from billionaires that you get on Fox and distortions that you get on Fox. And even CNN has gone a little bit to the right since the days of Ted Turner. And I'm very disappointed in that situation. I hope it'll change. But at any rate, MSNBC has been consistently mostly to the left. Most of its news anchors are pretty left, and being left, they're pretty open to what they present, and they're not hemmed in for the most part, the way they are in many other corporate networks.
Well, I would joust a little with that. They have plenty of Republicans represented. It's just that the Republicans represented on MSNBC are honest. And I mean, Andrew.
Well, yeah, like Hugh Hewitt. I don't like the guy at all. But he states his viewpoint, and he's not full of bullshit. And I don't like Joe Scarborough at all. But I put up with him in the morning. And Mika Brzezinski, I think, is a worthless representation of a liberal. She's like a token liberal.
We agree. But who's on when we're drinking coffee, right?
right. Exactly. But I like A.M. Joy. I like A.M. Joy. I like Chris Hayes. I like Lawrence O'Donnell. And Rachel Maddow is very good too, and it's stuff you can really learn about what's going on in there because they delve into things, and that's what I like about Free Speech TV too, because Amy Goodman and Tom Hartman delve into things too, and they're not just out there to pass the time.
Well, Comcast won't put Free Speech on one of the channels, or I'd watch it. I have to go online to catch it, but I get the...
Yeah, you can see it on free... You can go to the freespeech.org website, and you can watch a lot of their stuff live stream.
Yeah, and I get... I watch Democracy Now, not every day, but if I see... I get the email, and if I see
right.
a story or guest
exactly.
that I want to see, then I watch it. I will say this, Morning Joe, a long time ago, I guess now about 3 months ago or 4 months ago, he gave up his Republican card.
Now he calls himself an independent, but he's still a conservative.
Well, yeah, and he's still an idiot about that.
yep.
He's an idiot about a lot of stuff, actually.
Oh, and he and Mika Brzezinski are engaged. I just can't believe it. Oh,
why?
Lord, help me.
Why? Everybody on the planet knew those two were, you know, come on, Jack.
Oh, God,
on.
Help us. You know, she's so argumentative all the time. You know what? She seems like a real bitch. I don't care for her in the least. She's always no fun. Everything's, you guys, be quiet now. And she's trying to be the school teacher or something all the time. And it just is, I don't like her a bit.
I actually, well, you know, her father was.
She's a killjoy.
Her father was Brzezinski, and
he was brilliant.
Yeah, she's tried very hard to lean conservative to keep her job the first, you know, few. But she's actually very anti-Hillary and. It pissed me off a lot, but you know, Mike Barnicle and even
I don't mind him.
Donnie Deutsch.
And Willie Geist doesn't bother me too much.
Willie Geist gets up my ass a mile, but Donnie
Sometimes,
Deutsch.
Yeah.
But even Donnie Deutsch, I mean, they're calling it like they're seeing it, and they see the
right.
ruin of what they've made their living at all their adult lives
right.
being burned at the stake right now.
Oh,
and,
exactly.
I mean, even George Will said, fuck this. You know, it was.
Well, you know, George Will, I've not had too much problem with him. I've disagreed with him on a number of issues, but he presents himself, he's straight, he's presents himself squarely. He doesn't he's
yeah.
not a bullshitter. He doesn't he's out there for glory.
I agree on that. Whereas Chuck Todd is just a dumb shit.
Oh, he's a piece of crap. That guy's worthless.
Yeah, he's just a dumb shit. And you know who bothers me too, and everybody goes, yeah, why? And I just said, well, because I know he's pushing whatever GOP he can. That's Steve Kornacki, the one that does all the numbers.
Oh yeah, yeah, all the graphs and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I he's honest about it and all of that, but I just don't care for him, and
no.
I think. Got his own agenda myself, but Rachel Maddow is teaching people every night. She
yes,
teaches
exactly.
every night. Lawrence O'Donnell is just always been a fabulous liberal, and
yeah.
he
breaks
he
new
does,
ground a lot of times too. I have learned a lot from him and Rachel and Amy Goodman. All three of those people have taught, and Tom Hartman. All four of those people have taught me many things that I would have never seen on regular corporate news channels.
They're good voices. But you got to remember, too, it's Rachel Maddow who broke some of the stuff that's coming up now in the backwash off of RT
right.
Television and other
good
channels.
Good investigative journalism. And you know what?
Yeah.
She got her place at MSNBC. Courtesy of Keith Olbermann. Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, Keith Olbermann belongs in the 11th hour instead of Brian Williams. I like Brian Williams.
I agree, yeah.
But I'd rather see Keith
I'd rather
Olbermann.
See Keith there, yeah.
But Keith is just going to do what he's been doing. He's not doing himself a favor by just doing 15-minute rants every day at GQ. A lot of people are watching him, and GQ
oh, yeah.
likes numbers. But to get back onto network, he's never going to do it with just the ranting. He has to start breaking some news or something, and he doesn't have the budget to do it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's a tragedy. But, you know, he's very effective with his rants, and that's why people watch him, because there's
oh,
a lot
yeah.
of sense and a lot of knowledge behind those rants, and I've tuned into a few of them, and I enjoy them quite a bit.
Of course, I get them mailed to me, and I go over and take a look. But I got to tell you, the last couple of times I've been over, I'll watch about 3 minutes, and then all of a sudden I'm like, God, I've heard this all someplace before without all of the nasty. So. You know, why bring yourself down? there was one that he is constantly trying to push the impeachment, the get rid of him under article whatever to mental health.
Yeah.
He's good at that, but it's just that if he keeps up the rant, he's going to stay on video. He's not going to get back on a network where he does.
I don't, you know, I think he's burned his bridge with so many network executives. I don't know that we'll ever see him on a major network again. I hope I'm wrong, but I just got a feeling that they've had their fill of Keith Olbermann, and he's had his fill of them. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, I have to agree with you there, but his show was not like the video he's doing. He would do his end of the show rant, but, you know,
right.
it was
but
never.
But the show, he had a lot of good guests on there and a lot of informative stuff on it, on the Keith Olbermann, whatever that, I forget the name of the show.
He introduced.
The Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Right. He introduced Michael Moore, Rachel Maddow, a couple of people that are
Chris Hayes even.
Yeah. I mean, he brought all these people to the forefront because he recognized their gift, their talent, and their best.
And you know what? He, behind the scenes, he was very instrumental in creating MSNBC as we see it today. Because it was an also-ran cable network, and Keith Olbermann gave it some integrity, and he gave it a liberal slant, and it hasn't lost that. Even though they've tried to shift it away from there, it's not working because the public wants to see it.
Well, they were gonna douse Lawrence O'Donnell, and the uproar made him think twice about it.
Right.
You don't douse somebody like Lawrence O'Donnell. I mean, there's been times I've been listening to him, and he'll come on, and he's the storyteller.
Yeah.
But there's been a couple of times it's like, oh, come on, Lawrence, get to the point, will you? Yet in all, he's the one who brought the Dakota Pipeline to us on national television.
Right.
He's
yep.
the one who brought, he does go out there and pick them and find them. And especially he pays attention to all the same stuff you do or I do. And he sees something that he thinks needs to come on to national television, and he'll get it on there. But they have a lot of, you can just tell. I mean, have you seen the frustration in Maddow in the last couple of months? She's like all but saying, what the fuck, people? We're losing our republic here, you know?
Yeah.
She really has. I mean, you can see the frustration. And she'll try to be humorous about it, but you can tell that it's like...
she's got a biting edge to her humor that didn't used to be there. That's very true.
She doesn't. And I can remember Doc Maddow on Air America. I used to listen to her while I was at work hurting an intern for PR in Boston. And I can remember how she would just out and out say it. And she was good at it. She was really good at it. You talk about Keith Olbermann. Oh, my God. Rachel was just as good and better. And since she's gone to network, she has a lot of rules she has to play by. So
yeah, she's had to tuck it in a little bit. I've noticed that.
Yeah. And you know that because the other night I saw her just like let a piece of paper fall to the desk and go, really? And I thought, boy, if you could cuss, honey, I know what you'd be saying about now. You gotta think too that some of these newscasters and people who are digging so hard into what's really going on. I mean, she has followed the money. She knows that the money is where it's all going to end up. And she has followed it, exposed it over and over again. And she's had blowback once or twice that she had to contend with, but she turned out to be right both times.
She's ridden above it both times. All the times, yeah, she's a survivor.
But you got to think about the toll it takes on people. These reporters who, like, look at Andrea Mitchell. I mean, I am not a big fan. I'm not a big fan. I never have been. But she knows.
No, she's been there. She's bland as hell. She's been there for years. She's too timid. She's not Rachel Maddow by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
she's not even AM. She's not even Joy Reid.
She's very competent, though, with what she does.
Oh, yeah.
And she does her due diligence. She's got the connections to get the inside story, especially on the GOP side. She is a Republican. And she's out there in the last 7-8 months. She's like, you're kidding me, right? You know?
Well, nobody can believe this Trumpism. It's so bizarre. And it's so off the rails, and it's just insane.
And you can see that it's taking a toll because you get someone like Andrea Mitchell sitting in on Morning Joe, and she's like, really, you can ask me that question? You know, I mean, for years, I used to really like to listen to a reporter. Her name was Cokie Roberts. Do you remember her?
Yeah, I haven't seen. She was with MSN or with NBC for a long time. Is she around still?
She is.
I haven't seen her in years.
I think she's part of the executive aspect of it now.
She
went through health problems and came out the other side. I believe she's still with them in some sort of way. But she's an out-and-out Republican, and a lot of people didn't know that because she was just so good at her job and so good at being out there in plain terms.
And, you know, so was Mike Wallace in the old days, although he portrayed himself very successfully as a liberal, investigative journalist, and he did a great job. And he carried a lot of water for liberals. He really did.
Who?
And his son, Mike Wallace, on CBS.
Oh, yeah.
And his son, of course, is a lot more Republican. Although he does ask some. Probing questions once in a while of conservative guests on his Fox News show. I don't care for him that much. His dad was 50 times better than he.
I've seen him. He's a Fox asshole.
Yeah.
The only one worth any ear time is Brett. You know who I'm talking about. Brett.
Brett Hume?
Shep. Is his name Shepard?
Shep.
The only one who says it like it is. But then you listen to, I was listening to.
Hannity's a piece of shit.
I don't listen to him anymore.
I can't
anymore.
Stand that guy.
When Matt Al or anybody else plays Trump, I mute the television. I can't stand to hear it.
Yeah.
I really can't.
I don't blame you.
I'm there. I can read his friggin' lips. It's all the saying is me, 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 me.
Yeah.
I mean, geez. Oh my
his
God.
Latest spat with Time Magazine about this person of the year shit. What a self-centered bastard.
He outright lied about it, too.
Everything he says is a lie.
We're at the top of the hour, buddy.
Oh, my God. Well, everybody, all I can advise you to do is keep pushing forward. That's all you can do. That's all we need to do. And that's all that we must do.
And vote. Please vote.
Yes.
Get out there and vote. And if you've got the time, get out there with the crowds, be in the streets. The time is coming when we need to be marching.
Making noise and being noticed. And next Thursday, my next post will appear. It's going to deal with sexual abuse, and that's a pertinent topic these days. Everybody's getting into the act, so to speak, and I'm not trying to get into an act, but I am putting an honest appraisal of sexual abuse as I see the topic and as it's happening in our society. So that'll be on the Saturday afternoon post online this next Thursday.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Gwen. Great show, and we hope everybody's had a great Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And we'll look forward to speaking with you again next Sunday. And you know where to find us. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, Jack. You too. And
yeah, definitely. And turn into Rick Spezak now on Blog Talk Radio here.
On Progressive News Network. You'll find him coming on in about 1 minute.
Sounds great. Have a great week, Gwen. Talk to you next Sunday.
You too, Jack. This has been... Hear Me Monsters, the Sunday show. We'll be back with you next week, and thank you for listening.